It's not gonna be easy.
What's easy is floating downstream.
What's easy is being like everyone else.
You were made to stand out.
You were put here for a reason.
Normal isn't working anymore.
Look around.
Look around at the people who are giving you advice.
Do they have the results you're looking for?
I'm proposing a radical change.
It's time to fight.
It's time to fight the current.
Hello, this is Danny Campisi, and welcome to the Fight the Current podcast. I'm joined in the studio today with my co-host, best friend, and business partner, Aaron Thomas. Today, we're joined back with our mentor, Greg, to bring an exclusive live conversation about what it takes to get financially independent and prosper in today's economy. This is basically a window into what it's like to have a fireside chat with a millionaire.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Aaron here. Just wanted to say that we're back and we're better than ever. I know that it's been quite a while since we've done a podcast lately, but we just wanted to let you know that we've been working very hard on a couple different business projects behind the scenes that we're super excited to release to you coming up here pretty soon.
Absolutely, guys. We're just excited to be back. We're excited to be back with you, and we have a lot of things that we're excited to release to you. We're going to get that information out to you as soon as possible. I know that I have missed this. I've definitely missed doing podcasts. I've missed interacting with the Fight the Current community. And now with the tools that we're going to release to you today, we have even more ways to connect with you and get information out to you that has inspired us, and hopefully it can inspire you to swim upstream and fight the current. The specific interview we have for you today was actually cut from a video that we had recorded. We had professional equipment, and we really wanted to talk to Greg about some of the specifics of what we are working on today. Not just overarching principles or an interview on a backstory, but what we're actually working on with some of the business projects that we're doing. And we know you're going to be excited about it. We asked Greg specific questions and on exactly what he did and some of the major principles he used to become financially independent and financially free, as he's been for over 30 years. So we know you're going to love it. We know you're going to find it interesting. Obviously, the audio quality is not going to be the same as it is when we cut studio recordings, but we still thought the information was as valuable as anything else we've done, if not more, and we really wanted to release it to you. And there's going to be a video that follows soon once we get that edited and up. So we're excited for you to see that and to hear this interview. So enjoy.
Hello, this is Danny Campisi, and welcome to Fight the Current, your guide to living an extraordinary life in an ordinary world. As always, I'm joined here with my co-host, Aaron Thomas, and today's special guest, we're actually interviewing my friend and mentor, Greg Johnson. We're excited to have you on, Greg.
Thanks, Danny. It's a pleasure to be with you guys, and a real honor to work with you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Greg. I just want to start off by, again, saying thank you for your time. We're here at your beautiful estate, million-dollar-plus home, phenomenal pool, endless pool in the background here. A lot of acreage, and I just have to ask you one question. You live this extraordinary lifestyle that only the top 1% of Americans get to live. How did you get to the point where you're at today? I mean, you're completely debt-free, you're in the top 1% income earners, and again, you just have a beautiful lifestyle. So can you just give us some tangible steps of how did you get here?
Well, it certainly wasn't always like this, Aaron. I mean, you know, I, like anybody starting out, you know, it's a big world we live in. 7.5 billion people, I'm one in 7.5 billion. So my first challenge was myself, you know, trying to figure out, could I really succeed to any kind of level? And I really had no aspirations for this, although I always did want a better life. I can remember my parents driving by spectacular homes, and I was always enthralled and thought, oh my gosh, what beauty. And then we'd go back to our home, which was a regular middle-class home. It wasn't bad. But the pathway that I thought was going to get me there was education. You know, I think every parent, particularly today in America, they're convinced their kid has to go to college. And that was my parents. They were no different. But back in the day, you know, not everybody went to college. Today everybody goes to college. But back then it did separate you from those who didn't. It was a smaller group of people that went to college. My parents encouraged not only going to a good school, but an Ivy League school. So I went to Cornell University. Is one of the top schools in the country. I went to their number two program that they had in the country, and I thought that was going to be my path. You know, healthcare was a fast-growing field at the time, and I thought that was going to be the path. Really wasn't.
So you say education. In that sense, do you just mean formal education, or is there different types of education that you can get out there?
Well, I found out after coming out of college that there was a whole different set of education. When I met my wife and we talked about starting a family, she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. She thought the most important thing she could do was to raise the next generation. I supported that. I lost my mom to cancer right before high school. I saw how it affected my confidence. I saw how it really affected my sister's confidence. And so I really felt there was value to having her there. I thought the college was going to be the education. I met my first mentor, and that's really where my life changed. And he introduced me to a whole different education I didn't even realize existed.
So what type of education did he introduce you to?
Well, he had a master's degree in education. So you talk about education. He was an educator. He was 29 years old. I was 24. He was living like this at 29. And I'm like, wow. How did you get there at 29? And he goes, it certainly wasn't my master's degree, which in my head was, I only had a bachelor's. The next step was master's. So I thought, well, maybe it's the master's degree right. that got him here. And he goes, no, actually it wasn't that. I learned to change my thinking, and I learned from a mentor, an entirely different thought process. And so that was my introduction to something that wasn't school book learned, wasn't college learned, but it was learning from a mentor. And never heard the concept of mentorship back then. Didn't quite understand how somebody could have such an impact in my life or others' lives until then.
So what would you say some of the first tangible steps that he told you to take were?
Well, one of the first things he said is you need to read books. And I'm like, hey, I read a lot of books in college. I made a promise to myself when I got out of college, I'm never going to read a book again.
So we're not talking about Harry Potter here, right?
No, not Harry Potter, not biochemistry, not organic chemistry. He said that you need to develop communication skills, people skills. You need to work on your confidence and your self-image, which that concept never really occurred to me. I mean, my background was in the sciences. I was a lab person. I did lab experiments. People were the farthest thing from my radar. You know, when I was in school, sales, that whole sales and business really wasn't the path until years later when MBA programs started to fund a lot of universities because people started to realize that you need to move on to business, but not when I was in school. So when I came out, it was, I had to develop people skills, I had to develop a different image. So reading was one thing. Listening, he said you need to be careful what and who you listen to. He said the television can be extremely negative because it's not developing skill sets. So he had me into audios, and audios of people that were successful, that taught success principles. People like Earl Nightingale, people like Jim Rohn, people like Zig Ziglar. Those types of people that were already successful in the business world that business people learn from after their college. After their MBA. And then the third thing he said was, is you have to have associations. Not that you leave your friends, but if you want to develop a different life, you need to associate with people that are going to build you up, that are going to give you ideas. I remember us going to lunch one day at a fast food restaurant, and he was giving me an example that, you know, we went up in his Rolls Royce, you know, I drove over in my Beater, and but I had just listened to an audio that really helped me understand the experience I was going to have at lunch. And on the audio, it had mentioned, and I forget who was the speaker, but it was something totally unrelated to his coaching, other than it was an audio that I picked up through one of the things that he recommended. And they said, if you can have lunch with somebody that's very successful, that the crumbs of information that they give you, that you walk away from that lunch with, are more valuable than if you had to buy him a $500 meal. And, you know, we were going to a fast food restaurant, so I'm like, I can afford the 10 bucks for his lunch. You know, what kind of nuggets can I walk away with? So it was really what I read, what I listened to, and who I associated with. And my current mentor today developed that phrase, read, listen, and associate. And okay. It was interesting that many years ago it was the same principles. Different mentor, same principles.
So I want to jump in on how much time did you devote to this stuff? I mean, a lot of people out there, they might be working a full-time job, working 40 hours a week. At the end of their shift, they just kind of want to go home and veg. They just want to go home and stay in that comfort zone and just watch TV, like you said, the negative. They might not take the time to read these personal development books or listen to audios and stuff. So how did you kind of fit that into your day? What was your time allocation for that?
Well, here's what's interesting. I was working a full-time job, and I was waiting tables 7 days a week.
Wow.
Dating, got married, started a family, raised three children through that process. So I certainly wasn't sitting around with lots of spare time. I think the one thing I did have that I think it's a requirement for success, is you've got to be hungry. Hmm. You have to be teachable. And I was hungry and teachable. And so because I was willing to make little nuggets of time. I turned my car into a university on wheels, so to speak, because, as I mentioned, there were audios. And so I had a, you know, back then a cassette player in the car, and now I have a CD player in the car. Now everything's, you know, Bluetooth.
I mean, what's a cassette? I never heard of a cassette.
Yeah, you probably heard of that.
I must be too
young. You know, I've known Danny since he was little. You know, I'm good friends with Danny's parents. So I got a lot of teasing I can do with Danny. But he knows that, you know, we're in a different world today. You know, who would have thought we live in a world of podcasts? Nobody heard of them. Who would have thought we'd be in a digital world? When I was there, I didn't get my first cell phone until I was making six figures. Wow. Today you have kids in school getting a cell phone. So, yeah, things are going at a more rapid pace today, but I turned my car into a university that on my way to work and from work, on my way to my kids' activities and from there, I would listen to audios. And you know what was great? My kids heard them as well. Hmm. And it really impacted their lives. So this pathway didn't just change mine and my wife's life. It changed the next generation. And hopefully they'll pass it on to the next generation and the next generation. So it's a multi-generational change because it's a multi-generational change of thinking.
Right, and I know that Jim Rohn says that formal education will make you a living, but self-education will make you a life. And that's basically what that is when you're taking your education into your own hands and studying these experts. So I want, you know, I'm curious because you just said that I've known you since I was little.
Right.
But I didn't know you, you know, as a young man, until you were already successful.
Right.
So if you were to take, you take me back to some of the darker days, mm-hmm. because one thing that, it's hard to find people who are just real. You know, everyone just wants to find, someone please
so
just
true.
Be real. Someone
so
please
true.
Just be honest. You know, no one's born successful. It's not 8 pounds, 3 ounces, and successful.
Unless you're born into a family with money, and I wasn't. So.
That's true. And neither was I.
And that doesn't make you successful. That just means your parents were successful, and you live off the land, so to speak.
Right.
You know, I always told my kids, I said, I'm rich, you're not. So.
Right. So if you could, Greg, just take us back to how you became the man you are today and some of those darker times on your journey to get into where we are now. I'm sure you went through doubts and fears.
Oh, plenty of doubts. I mean, my nature is, like I said, I'm not a people person. I'm more of what they call a melancholy personality, so we're more about detail, and sometimes I could get caught up in the details, and we're also very self-deprecating, self-doubting, and so I had a lot of self-doubt. My ride was basically what I would call a roller coaster. I was up one day with hope, down one day with discouragement, one up day with excitement, another one with depression. You know, it was just an ongoing battle with me, because it's like working out. You know, if you go to the gym, not every day is a great day in the gym. And sometimes after a great day, you hurt for a few days. Mm-hmm. So there were times where I would get around successful people. I would listen to this information. And I would immediately expect that I would have the same level of success.
Yeah.
Only to find out that I'm only 2 days removed from the day I heard the person that was great on that audio or at that seminar thinking, man, they are awesome. I want to be just like that. And I can remember hearing John Maxwell, great leadership guru. Mm-hmm. And John Maxwell was commenting one time that somebody in the audience came up and said, I want to be like you. And he said, well, if you want to be like me, it took me X number of years to get here, and you got to go through all the muck to get to the greatness. So I would say that was my journey. I had to go through some ups and downs. I was ready to quit many times. I remember one time I was mowing the yard. And I'm mowing the yard, and I'm just, you know, when you have times by yourself, you think. Mm-hmm. And because the mower was going and I didn't have any headsets, I'm thinking to myself, and my doubt started creeping in. And, you know, during this journey, my wife was supportive, but she wasn't the one that was the visionary. You know,
sure.
She was supportive of me. So there were times where she's like, are you sure you want to do this? You know, let's just give up, you know. And she'd quit one day and I'd quit the next. And we had never quit at the same time together. But I'm mowing the lawn that day in my little duplex. And I'm like, this is it. That's it. And I said, I'm done. I walked in and I said, you know, Lynn, let's just call it quits. I mean, this excitement journey of changing our life, let's just come to the realization we're going to be here. And this is just our lot in life. And she said, well, I'm glad you came to your senses. And that day we both quit together. And I felt so much relief. It's like the pressure was off of me. Mm. Like, this is great. I don't have to worry about going upstream,
right,
you know, yeah, against myself and against the world, because I certainly wasn't getting encouragement from my father or any of my other family members. They all thought I was crazy. And so I felt great. I went back out. I started the mower back up again. I started mowing a couple rows, and I realized, oh, shoot, now what?
Yeah.
I mean, if you've ever quit at anything and you go back to reality and you say, really? Do I really want to stay where I'm at? And that was kind of a revelation to me. So in the future, when I started going through that same negative thought process, thinking about quitting, I already had a wake-up call that if you quit, that's it.
Right.
And, you know, having a mentor and an opportunity was, I've told people in the past, it was like my Super Bowl opportunity. I wasn't an NFL player. I wasn't a straight-A student. I wasn't gifted in singing or music. I was never going to rise that way. It was going to have to be through sheer effort, put my nose down, wheel to the grindstone, so to speak, or, not be afraid to do the work, because it takes work. I'm not going to kid you guys. I mean, you've watched me. I've worked. You're going to
work harder
than
most. You absolutely. You outwork me.
So. Yeah, I work out. I work most young people.
With you.
and I'm not saying that to be boastful. I'm just saying that if you want to stay in the game, and even at my point in life, I want to stay in the game, because financially it's not as motivating to me as legacy. Now it's an opportunity for my kids as young adults to see, hey, mom and dad have done something, but mom and dad want to do something to change other people's lives. And that's why I really feel humbled that both you and Aaron really have enough respect and are teachable enough that the things I say are important to you, because they were important to me when I was your age and I was starting out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing that you taught me is really three principles on how to achieve anything you want in life, and that's first to define what you want.
Right.
And then it's to learn from someone who has that lifestyle, and that's just to simply, do what they did. And that's what Aaron and I are in the process of doing. We've defined that we want the lifestyle you have of being debt-free and, being very financially successful, having a successful marriage, having a successful even faith life, spiritual journey.
And I think that's a great point, Danny, is defining that success. It's not just materialistic success. It's not just financial success, but the relationship that you have with your kids, the relationship that you have with your wife.
Been married for over 30 years.
Exactly, and that's exactly like Danny said. That's what we want. It's not just financial success, but it's those relationships that you cultivate and grow.
Because you can't take money with you when you die.
Can't
right?
take it with you.
Yeah, so it's certainly not the...
And the memories that we have with our children, with my wife, with our friends, with you, have been priceless. Because those are the things that really make life worth living.
Yeah.
This house, somebody else is going to own it someday. I've replaced my car, I'm going to replace it again. Those things get old, they die. I'm going to die someday. So it's what can I leave behind that's of real value. And that's really the point that I think everybody should, doesn't matter whether you're my age at this point or your age, you should be thinking about what can I do to leave this a better world?
Yeah.
To impact people's lives for good and help them the way I'm trying to help you guys, the way my two mentors have helped me, because really when it boils down to it, it's really the lives we change that are the most important things in life. Spiritually, professionally, I would say educationally, because I think our success comes from that hunger to learn. I'm reading 6 different books right now.
Really?
And every time I hear something, people say, how can you stay focused? I'm like, that's a good question, because I remember my first mentor saying, you ought to read multiple books. And I'm like, you'd be kidding me. I can't even stay focused on one. I struggled to read 15 minutes. They'd say, read 15 minutes. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I can't keep my focus for 15 minutes on this material because it was so foreign to me. Hmm. I wasn't a people person. Now I had to learn how to deal with people. I had to learn about myself. So foreign. Not comfortable.
Hey guys, what's up? I hope that you're enjoying that conversation so far with Greg. Hope that you're getting a lot of information and knowledge that you can just take from and immediately apply into your life. I wanted to jump in here and just release some of the new things that we've been working on. So coming out this week, we're going to have a brand new website. So ftcmovement.com is where you can go and check out all of our latest podcasts. We're going to have blogs posted. We're going to have videos. We're also going to have a YouTube channel. So stay tuned for that. It's our hopes that this shifts from the Fight the Current podcast to Fight the Current movement. So we're going to do an entire multimedia experience where you can read articles, you can immerse yourselves in the podcast, you can check out our videos that we have, and we just, again, want to be that go-to source for fighting the current in your life. It's time to stop being normal. It's time to get out of your comfort zone, stop being complacent, and just start engaging. And with engagement, we're also going to have a Fight the Current Movement Facebook group where we can actually dialogue and interact and engage. We'd love to hear what you're fighting the current in your life with. What are some things that you're going through? We would love to just have that conversation with you. And we're just super excited to release all of this to you. Like I said, we've been working hard in the background. And again, we just want you to be a part of this movement.
Absolutely, guys. And if you head over to ftcmovement.com, you can actually click on About Us and learn about our new partner, Austin Graham. We're really excited to bring him on because he's an absolute expert when it comes to web design and just kind of the background stuff. And he has put together that whole website. So I know you're going to be very impressed with it. And he's a real close friend of ours, and we're just excited to have him along for the ride. So we definitely want to encourage you to jump on that website, join our Facebook group, comment on that Facebook group, connect with us on Instagram, on our regular Facebook, and leave a review on our podcast. If you leave a review, we're going to be happy to share it on the next episode, on episode 11. And we're excited to hear from you. We're excited to read it out to everybody else. And we're just so excited that you're along with us for this journey. And keep fighting the current as we are encouraged to fight the current in our lives as well. And now we're going to get back to the conversation with Greg.
I want to jump in on something. So I think it's important to touch on the point that it's not just reading, but it's actually the application of what you're reading. I think it's easy for people to grab a personal development book, but for me, I mean, speaking personally, one of the hardest thing is, okay, now that I've read that, how do I put that into action? So can you talk about, I mean, you said that you weren't good with people skills. You would always look down. But having a conversation with you now and after knowing you for the 2 years that I have, you would have never guessed that that was Greg Johnson back then. So how did you actually go from reading the book to applying the book?
Magic of Thinking Big. It's a primer that my current mentor says everybody, if they could only have one book to read, would be The Magic of Thinking Big. And one of the points in that book was, action cures fear. And I had a lot of fear built up. Fear of people, fear of failure, fear of myself, fear of, you know, looking stupid and foolish. You know, this is kind of our society today. You know, everything's about image. And one of the things I had to do was I had to put things into action and be willing to make those mistakes. I met somebody the other day, and very professional. We were at an event. Everybody had to contribute to go to this event. And so I'm sitting there talking to a gentleman, and I met him, and I said, what's your name? And he told me. And I said, is this your spouse? Yes. So I said, what's your first names? And they said, well, I'll forget yours. And I could never remember people's names. I was so bad, I wouldn't even listen. Mm-hmm. And later on, I saw them and I mentioned their name. He goes, how did you remember our names? I said, because I developed a system that if they're a couple, I remember, like in our case, Greg and Lynn, because it's easier for me to do that association. So what I did was, is I developed maybe a plan, a system that worked for me to put the things that I learned into action, to make sure that I look people in the eye, because my tendency was either to look down or I wouldn't even look eyeball to eyeball, I would just look on the sides of you, you know? But I had to do that. My eyes, I think, would blink too much. But I had to learn to get comfortable, because that was one thing I didn't do. Smiling. I have a good friend that, you know, he didn't smile much, and we used to say to him, hey, Tony, you need to smile. And today, he's awesome at smiling. Yeah. And so it's just skills that weren't natural for some of us, probably many of us, that have become successful, that we've made them natural habits.
So, Greg, if you're able to give us some tangible steps on how to achieve this type of lifestyle that we've been talking about, what would you say?
Three things that I can think of. They're what we call the three L's.
Okay.
Literacy, because, and when we say literacy, I define it as financial literacy, because it doesn't matter how much money you make if you don't know how to manage it, if you don't know how to keep it, if you don't know how to get it to work for you. And I don't mean risky ways. Because there's a lot, I run into a lot of young people that they want to be successful overnight, and they're really, really willing to do anything riskful or non-riskful just to succeed. They're not afraid to take a risk, so much so that they're foolish. Right. So I think you need to have some good, sound financial principles. So financial literacy is one. The second thing is leadership. You need to develop leadership skills to not only lead yourself, but leading is leading by example. And so if you can't lead yourself, who's going to follow you down the right path? I mean, there's been people that have been strong leaders down the wrong path, but if you want to help people succeed, you got to be willing to take them down a path and go down a path yourself where you can lead them to success. So leadership. And then the third thing is leverage. I would have to admit, the success that we have really has little to do with me and more to do with the people around me. My wife, huge supporter, always encouraging. I mean, she's been the backbone because I haven't been many times. Huh. Our children. You know, there were times when I doubted, when I was on that roller coaster, I was pretty emotional. I mean, I would, you know, I was ready to throw in the towel many times. And my kids would say something, Dad, you're my hero. Dad, you can do it. Dad. But they heard that from the audios. They heard that from my wife. I've had two great mentors. One of the challenges that I find, and I think that's why it's so awesome that the two of you have decided that mentorship is important to you, because you can hear principles, but it's like, how do you stay on path? Yeah. How do you stay to task? Mm. How do you do the right thing at the right time and not do the wrong thing, or the right thing at the wrong time, or do the wrong thing? So I've had two great mentors that have totally changed my life. Even the success that we have today, I would have to tell you that you can get successful and lose it. But I have a mentor even today in my life to keep me on track to take me to the next level. Because quite honestly, I mean, we have some nice success. We certainly are not the most successful people in the world.
Yeah.
You know, there's a big difference between 1% and the 0.5% or the 0.25%. I mean, huge gaps. So if I want to go to the next level, I have to be willing to be mentored by somebody who's at that next level, who can teach me, what do you do to go from here today to there? You know, Marshall Goldsmith wrote a book called How Do You Get... What got you here won't get you there.
Right.
So you have to learn new steps, new things. So that leverage. And then I was part of a business system. I've learned systems thinking. My first mentor came from a farming background. So, you know, they'd be out in the field at machinery break, and they had to figure out how to get it to work. They couldn't call daddy. So it was like how to think through the process. One of the things that I find with a lot of young people today is they don't have that critical thinking, how to solve a problem, how to fix it yourself when you have nobody to help you. So you have to learn to be self-sufficient in that sense. The other thing, and I don't mean self-sufficient without God, because I believe that that's huge, is that's part of our success, is that when I don't think I can do it, I know that I've got somebody that I can turn to that, you know, it's not my strength, it's the strength that I have.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible talks about that. And I would say through my associations, I have other peers that encourage me. That we are accountable to each other. And I think that accountability piece is huge. So it's really a leverage of the resources. It's developing systems. You know, we work in a business system through the different companies that we have where we've developed processes that work for us. We've worked with companies that have processes and systems. And when you systematize, you have the leverage. It's like your car. You know, you get in, you don't have to be an auto mechanic to drive a car.
Right.
Somebody's already developed the system. You just have to learn how to use the system.
Or drive it, yeah.
So we've talked a lot about kind of like the old stuff in the past. I know that you mentioned cassette tapes and even CDs nowadays. They're like, who listens to CDs?
Right.
It's all music streaming on your phone. Going back to financial literacy, there's this new kind of currency that's out there that's kind of like the new world digital money. Can you talk about cryptocurrency a little bit? I know that we've had conversations in the past about it. I know that there's a lot of speculation around it, like what is it, what's blockchain technology? Can you just hit on the literacy? How does that fall into financial literacy?
Well, I'm certainly not an expert when it comes to the science behind blockchain technology, but I'll tell you a couple of things that it, for me, having the opportunity to travel internationally and do business internationally, as well as here in the States, is that you know, I've worked in different countries that had their own specific currency, like in Europe. You know, the Germans had their own currency, the Greeks, the Polish. You know, each of those countries had their own currency. Today they have the euro. So the currency has changed. If you look at the value of currency, it goes up and down. So the idea behind the cryptocurrency, when they developed that blockchain technology and cryptocurrency, the idea was to do what Newton discovered with gold. That you couldn't re-engineer the metals that produced gold to create more gold. In other words, there was a finite amount of gold. So the blockchain technology and cryptocurrency is to build a finite amount of crypto that as it grows and people use it, it'll split off, but there's only so much of it. And so the value increases. The idea behind blockchain is that It's different than the internet today. George Gilder, who's a Harvard educated, I think he's the founder of discovery.org, written a number of books. He wrote a book called Life After Google, and he talks about, you know, the internet as it is today. Everybody's information might be free, but it's all stored in the cloud, because to do anything, you got to have a password. And so they know our name, where we live, everything about us, you know. Yeah. But think about how many of the supposedly secure sites, Equifax, which gathers all of our financial information, has been violated and our information has been taken. You know, Facebook, where all of us post all of our personal information, right. They've been violated and hacked into and information has been taken. So the concept behind the blockchain and the crypto is that information is segmented on your computer in different places through this technology, these ledgers, these separate ledgers that are transparent, but information is stored. So you'd have to really be able to hack and hack and hack and know where to go, where in the cloud everything's up there. So the concept behind the cryptocurrency is that I think it solves a problem that I talked about years ago. I think there's three things that have kept people in bondage in the world. One has been geography, because for many, you know, your family's from Italy, my family's from Greece. I don't know where your family's from, Aaron, but...
York.
So, you know, when you think about, if you were born in that country back 100 years ago, you basically stayed in that country, you know, unless you had an opportunity to go someplace else, but then you had to learn the language and the culture and everything else. The second barrier is that language. If you only spoke your language, your native language, then that could be a barrier. And the third thing are governments. Two of those three barriers have come down. Now you can travel freely. We've got internet, text, cell phones. It's easy to travel the world. You can translate into Google Translator. I mean, you have the opportunity to learn multiple languages. One of the companies we work with has an app that teaches 90 different languages. And so you have the opportunity to do that. The only thing that's kept people in bondage now are governments. And they do it through the manipulation of currency. And so if you go to different countries, the value of the currency, as soon as the middle class, my wife and I were in Germany recently, and we met a guy, she was buying a purse, he owned a business. His name was Dieter, and he was saying that the government is manipulating the currency, and the value goes down as inflation goes up, and so the middle class has to work harder. Well, everybody has to work harder because we're not part of the elite that control the money. And so even at our level, I don't control the money. What crypto does is it puts a parallel playing field. I believe it's going to be a global playing field that will allow people from around the world to be able to work in an exchange that cannot be manipulated, that puts somebody in Nigeria on the same playing field as somebody in America or in China or Japan, and then it's just a matter of how does that cryptocurrency do. And if you're using the right cryptocurrency and they can figure out a way to make it, right now it's only been an investment thing.
Right.
But nobody's really utilized it for purchasing. And I believe there's going to be an opportunity in the future, somebody's going to come up with a way to utilize that to be able to purchase. And when you do that, I think it's going to create a whole new, it's going to be the next internet. I mean, I can remember, you were young, so you probably didn't, I don't know how old you were back in the 90s, but when you think about it, when the internet came out, everybody was afraid of it.
Yeah.
Nobody would do transactions online. There was no digital currency. We all used dollar bills or checks. Right? Remember those? Remember dollar bills and checks? Does that resonate?
What's a dollar bill?
Yeah, what's a dollar bill, right?
I just use my piece of plastic.
Right. Did your parents ever say, roll down the window and you hit a button? Like, what do you mean roll down the window? Just hit the button. Right. I mean, your whole age group grew up with debit cards and credit cards, more debit cards. That's nothing but digital currency. I can remember when people were afraid to make a purchase online because somebody would get their information. And all we talk about today is security, but everybody's information has been violated. Why? The internet.
So you feel like this cryptocurrency could be the next currency that goes worldwide, that everyone's using it, because it is more secure. You hear about the data breaches that these major national brands have. Do you think that it's viable for a long-term solution of...
Well, I'll tell you, like I said, I'm not the expert, but I'll tell you, a lot of experts do. I believe it was JP Morgan and a number of banks are starting to utilize blockchain technology for the security of what they're doing. So I think the concept of blockchain is huge. I saw YouTube about 14 different industries that can benefit from blockchain technology. And retail was one, which is what we're talking about, crypto, but healthcare and banking and all these other things. So I am certain that there's going to be a huge role in the future. But I mean, just look at the last couple of years of speculation of the number of people who made a lot of money. And it takes me back to the days of the tech stocks, you know, when the dot-coms were coming out. Yeah, there were a lot of people up and down, just like maybe a lot of people went up and down with this whole cryptocurrency thing in the beginning. But that was 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like the iPhone's only been out 10, 11 years. So, you know, now, you know, nobody ever heard of a smartphone app because there were no smartphones. Hmm. Today, I probably have 150 apps on my phone. And everybody I know's got an app and a smartphone. So what if you could figure out a way to bring the cryptocurrency and the smartphone technology together and give people, just like everybody has a credit card today, the ability to use the technology to use crypto for your purchase and do it no matter where you go in the world? Hmm. One of the big things I heard that companies like about it is that you eliminate these transaction fees. That, you know, a lot of retailers, anytime somebody uses a credit card, the banks, and again, it goes back to the banks controlling the money, they charge a fee. You know, fractional reserve banking, the fact that you don't, the banks don't necessarily have to have all the money they loan out, they just have to have 10% of it. Hmm. So, you know, where does the money come from? It's nothing but digital. So what's the difference between digitals that the banks control and a digital that the investors control and the banks can't manipulate, because the more people that believe in that currency will invest in that currency, will use that currency, which drives the value up, and seeing as the government can't manipulate it, then it's more the people's money than the government's money or the banker's money or whoever the people are that control the world banks.
Yeah. So what would you say is the future of cryptocurrency?
I think it's going to be big. I honestly do. I think that the ability to be able to purchase, I think they're going to find a way to make it seamless. Just like, you know, you go use your credit card now, it's seamless. But there's limitations there because it's all run through the bank. One of the big benefits of cryptocurrency is it's a peer-to-peer. You know, it's like the old days of bartering, where, you know, somebody said, hey, I'd like to get some chickens from you, and the guy says, well, that's great. Well, I'll give you so much hay for your chickens. So that was a purchase that they weren't taxed on, that they determined what the value was. I mean, it's really no different than back in the day.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's just a different way of looking at it.
And the infrastructure is already there. Like you're talking about, right now we have credit cards, but even it's taken a step further. Like, we don't even use credit cards anymore. I know, like, you have the ability with Apple Pay that you can just pay with your smartphone. It's all digital. Like, it's, we're getting away from having to carry anything. Like, I think in my mind, what are my kids going to be saying? Like, you're sitting here with Danny and I, and you're talking about cassette tapes, and that's foreign to us. What are going to be the things that Danny and I are talking about to our kids? Like, to me, it's going to be the dollar bill. Like, you guys actually carried around paper money? Like, you guys actually carried around credit cards? I just carry around my smartphone. Like, that, it's always on me.
Different world. When I started a company back in Poland, right after Solidarity, they had the zloty. During my tenure doing business over there, the zloty, because of inflation, increased 1,000%, which meant it became worthless. Look at the Mexican peso, what it's worth today. So look at that. A friend just come back from Nigeria. The Naira is 366 to one U.S. dollar. The Rand in South Africa, where I had a company for years, is 10 to 1. Canada. I had a friend that would constantly chide us because the Canadian dollar was stronger than the American dollar. Now the Canadian dollar is less than the American dollar. Who's controlling that? I'm not controlling that. Somebody's controlling that. What if it was a level playing field? And people could decide, I either like that one or I don't. I accept it or I won't. So I think we're going to see, just like the solution to flying, just like the solution putting a man on the moon, just like the solution of, look at Windows, computers, personal computers, or Apple. Steve Jobs did an amazing thing when he took a complicated thing like a phone, or what we would call a computer today, and have one button take you from screen to screen. And you didn't have to program it, you didn't have to use a keyboard, you just touched. I remember trying to explain to my mother-in-law about sending a fax. I said, yeah, we're going to fax this up to a hotel we stayed at. You know, so she passed away 10 years ago. She was 91. She didn't know what a fax was.
Wow.
Today, faxes mostly are digital.
Yeah.
So it's a different world.
Different world. And then one thing that you've taught me is if you don't play by the new rules, you'll get run over by people who are playing by the new rules. And I think many people are holding on to some of these old concepts of success, where like going to college, and nothing wrong with college, but it produces college results, which, you know, one thing Aaron and I talk about is normal is not working anymore.
Right.
So what the average person is doing is not working unless you want to be average. And
average is just average.
Yeah.
You know, like when
most people are average, you'd probably say that's true, right?
I would say that's probably percentage-wise. Average okay. would be, most people would be average.
Okay.
Why they call it average.
I was going to say, isn't that what average means?
No,
I'm not sure.
No, but I believe that the creativity, the creative genius of men and women, particularly today with the amount of input that we can gather for information, will solve that problem. And solve it quicker than we think.
You've been listening to the Fight the Current podcast, your guide to living an extraordinary life in an ordinary world. We ask you to subscribe and review this podcast as it helps out a lot. We sincerely hope that you've gotten value from today, and if so, we would love to hear from you. Check out our Facebook and Instagram pages and our brand new website at ftcmovement.com. Keep posted for our upcoming episodes, and until next time, swim upstream and fight the current.